Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I'd like to tell you about Harry. Harry was 84 when he died in 2008, here just before the summer All-Star break. Now, it might sound strange to mark someone's passing by something that happens in Major League Baseball, but not with Harry. For Harry, for his whole life, kept track of the days based upon where the Cubs were in the standings during the season and about trade rumors during the offseason. Harry literally counted the days until the season opener, which he never missed in 79 years. Among the many wonderful memories that the family had of Harry was his long-suffering love for the Chicago Cubs. Harry's father had been the source of Harry's deep and abiding affection for the Cubbies. In 1929, Harry's father had acquired four of the most amazing season tickets next to the Cubs' dugout. And later, these tickets would be passed on to Harry. His father took Harry to Wrigley Field when he was just five. But Harry's most profound memory of the Cubs happened at an away game in St. Louis on June 29th, 1929. The Cubs were on a road trip, and Rogers Hornsby was in his first year with the Cubs, although he had played most of his career with the Cardinals. That year, Hornsby led the league in 11 offensive categories. He hit 39 home runs. He had 149 RBIs with a .380 batting average. In that year, Hornsby was voted the league's MVP, and he led the Cubs to a National League pennant. But since the Cubs are the Cubs, they would later lose the World Series to the Philadelphia Athletics. But Harry never forgot that away game in St. Louis, not because the Cubs won that day 10-7 against their arch rivals, but because Rogers Hornsby actually spoke to Harry. Hornsby asked Harry to retrieve a ball that had gotten past him while he was in warm-up, and Harry, then only five, obliged his hero by throwing the ball back to the great Hornsby with all of his might. After catching the soft toss of a five-year-old, Hornsby responded, "Hey, not bad, kid. You got some good stuff. Maybe you'll pitch for the Cubs someday." And then Hornsby signed the baseball and threw it back to Harry. Harry never pitched for the Cubs, but he did attend every game that he could for the rest of his life. Harry used to take his friends to the Cubs games and use his tickets that his father had bequeathed him, and he was always so generous with his friends in the use of those tickets. And now it was his funeral, and his friends were gathered at the funeral parlor. They were there in part to bid farewell to Harry, but they were also there so that they could bid on his tickets. For all of Harry's friends were well aware that these amazing tickets might soon become available since no one else in Harry's family shared his passion for baseball. And then the most horrific thing happened. Harry's funeral turned into a public spectacle as these greedy Cub fans crowded around Harry's wife and widow, Marie, as she sobbed into her handkerchief. They were there not only to extend their sympathies, but to extend an offer to buy those season tickets. And each had his own reason why he should be in the line of succession to receive those tickets. It was truly embarrassing to see these men and the little regard they had for Harry's widow. At some point in the days and weeks ahead, I suppose it would have been all right to discuss the purchase of these tickets. But Harry's funeral was neither the time nor the place. Well, we've all witnessed situations like this one where someone makes an inconsiderate remark at an inappropriate time. Most of us have the social skills not to do that. We know when what we say is appropriate, and we know when we've crossed the line by saying or doing something that is inappropriate around others. But you know something? We don't have that same ability always when it comes to God. For unless we read the Bible regularly, we will not understand that there is also a time and a place to hear the gospel, and there is a time and a place when comforting ourselves with the gospel is entirely inappropriate. Let me offer an example. Sometimes Christians actually comfort themselves with the gospel of God's forgiveness while they are in the very act of committing a sin. Their timing for comforting themselves with the gospel is not only inappropriate, it is outrageous to God. For while you are sinning, you should never tell yourselves, "Oh, it's okay to sin because Jesus died for my sins." Consoling yourself with the gospel while you have it in your mind to sin is far more inappropriate than even finagling baseball tickets out of a widow at her husband's funeral. It is never the right time to hear the gospel while you are headstrong in disobedience to God and unremorseful about persisting in your sin. In fact, God wants us to hear only the law in such moments, to act as if the gospel did not exist, for as long as you remain unconcerned about your transgression of God's commandments, the gospel certainly does not apply to you. As long as you remain unconcerned about the way sin is controlling your life, it is appropriate only to hear the law about God's burning anger against your sins and you. Now, sometimes we all say the wrong thing at the wrong time, but not so with God. God's timing is perfect, and he never says anything that is inappropriate to us. For God always knows just what to say and when to say it. God knows when it's time for us to hear words of judgment that intimidate and frighten us because of that old sin nature that still lives in Christians. But once that law has done its work, once that law has made us contrite, God wants us to hear the gospel. He wants our guilt-ridden conscience to ignore the law completely in that moment and only to hear and believe the precious and reassuring message of God's eternal love for you in Christ. For God always wishes to deal with everyone in either one of these two ways, revealing either his anger or his mercy to the sinner as the situation warrants. And God uses his pastoral servants to speak to us whichever message it is we need to hear at any given moment in our lives. And our pastors in Christ are such a great blessing in determining which we need to hear, law or gospel. And yet not only our pastors, but really all Christians who have learned to understand God in the Bible know when it is appropriate to address a sinner with a frightening word of law or with a forgiving word of grace. It is entirely situational. Which word from God do we need to hear at any given moment, It's based upon our present spiritual condition. Do you love certain sins and do you resist giving them up? Then you need to hear the law exclusively without the comfort of the gospel. Do you sometimes love to sin but also loathe those sins and even hate yourself for not being able to give them up? Then you are a candidate to hear the gospel only and to treat the law as if it did not exist, at least in your case. For when the law has done its work, God wants you to remember that Christ has fulfilled the whole law for you. He has silenced that accusing voice of the law within the conscience, so that your guilt-stricken conscience can ignore the law and remember only the love that God has for you in Christ. If you're going to understand God and what he thinks is appropriate, then we need to understand that God speaks to his people in the rhythm, the daily rhythm of law and gospel. We should learn when it is appropriate and when it is inappropriate to apply either law or gospel to ourselves. For in truth, the entire Christian life is one big continuing circle of turning away from God and then turning back to God through repentance and faith, which happens through the preaching of law and gospel. And the reason is that even after conversion, even though we are forgiven in Christ, Christians still remain sinners who need the law. And yet we have also become saints, forgiven sinners through the blood of Christ, because we have also heard the gospel. The trouble is, if you cannot divide law and gospel, you will never be certain how God feels about you. You will never know if God is for you in the gospel or against you in the law. You need to know which message of God applies to you and when. Whether God desires to confront you with a word of law or to comfort you with the word of gospel is contextual. It's based upon what is presently going on within your heart and your life. It all depends upon whether you are penitent or impenitent with respect to God. For God does not practice law and gospel in some helter-skelter way where we can never anticipate his moods and whether his attitude towards us is wrath or grace. But God is consistent. He will always use the law on those who are too proud to recognize their sins or their needs for God. And he will always use the gospel to address those who know they need God's forgiveness, who desire it even though they don't deserve it. Now, of course, as Christians, every person would rather hear good news instead of bad news, and so we would all prefer to hear the gospel. And in our culture of entitlement, there are some churches and some Christians who think we are entitled to hear the gospel and only the gospel. While all Christians desire to hear the gospel, there is also an appropriate time for us to hear the law. And that is the subject of the epistle for today, Romans chapter 7. You see, in Paul's day, some suggested that the law did not have any ongoing relevance in the life of a Christian. And they went so far to suggest that the law is evil and should not be preached to Christians any longer. Paul certainly understood there were occasions when preaching the law would be inappropriate. He spent several chapters in the book of Romans explaining how it is inappropriate to speak of the law as if God intended to save us by the keeping of that law. And yet he goes on to say the law is good. We are the ones who are evil. It's kind of like looking into a mirror. If I look into a mirror in the morning, I can hardly blame the mirror for what I see. And neither can I blame the law for what the law reveals of my sin to me. The law doesn't teach us to sin. It merely teaches us that we are sinners. And Paul will reassert that the law is good so long as a person doesn't believe that he can earn his way to heaven by keeping it. God's commandments are good even though breaking them has horrific consequences. Okay, the law is good. But is it good for us? Pastor, you said that God sometimes speaks law to us. Why does God feel the need to frighten us? Isn't God just being mean when he does that? My friends in Christ, you know that God is not mean, for he died to save you. But God is just, and in order to maintain justice in the world, God must punish sin and sinners. Otherwise, evil, like weeds, would eventually overcome everything that is good in our world. What is mean is not to warn people who are in grave danger. If you knew that a bomb was about to go off in a building and yet standing outside the door, you did nothing to warn people entering the building, wouldn't that be mean? God asks his servants to warn others about the dangers of sin and unbelief before it is too late. No one needs to go to hell, thanks to what Jesus Christ has done for the world on the cross. But if they are not warned, many will end up in hell because, not knowing the law, they have no reason to ever apply the gospel to themselves. And pastors and churches that are still willing to speak out against sin, whether in our life or in the lives of others, may be viewed as unloving by a permissive society. But isn't it far more selfish when we don't speak up about sin just because it's easier for us not to enter into some kind of confrontation? To remain liked by our family and friends and not risk relationships? And just to keep everything in proper spiritual perspective, we must also remember that although the law seems harsh, it actually serves a gospel purpose. Yes, the law is frightening. Yes, it is harsh, and sometimes it seems inappropriate. Even Paul says the law kills, but it only kills sinful pride so that God can make us alive in Christ. And so among all its other functions, the law serves this purpose, that it gets us in the right frame of mind to hear the gospel and to receive it with true faith and with great joy. May God grant that to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.